Welcome back to the Seed in Society podcast. This is part two of my interview with Monica Kaufman, who is a certified financial planner and helps people to get their finances in order and understand money and just true sovereignty and financial freedom from a systems perspective. We're going to get more into what it is that she wants people to realize and know, and I'm excited to continue this conversation.
Curious about owning land, growing your own food, or building income that doesn't depend on you showing up every day? That's what I'm doing, and this is where I share exactly how. Welcome to Seed in Society. I'm Makeda Boehm, an AI strategist, homesteader, and tech sales leader turning paychecks into lasting multi-million dollar wealth. I use automation, food-producing land, and digital income streams to build real assets and long-term freedom for my family and help others do the same. If you're done trading time for survival and want to build on your own terms, you're in the right place.
What I want them to do and realize is the people who have children who are financially successful and who are able to, who are not part of the 80%, they're part of the 20, they teach their children the system. There's no shame and there is no reason for shame. They come forward and say, hey, I just want you to see this and understand what this is. That when you work and you earn $100, you don't take home $100, okay? And I want them to understand all of these things. My mother was born in 38, and her parents were hit badly by the back end of the Depression. And it really took them down for a ride. They had a hard time. They didn't have enough food in the house to eat. My mother got a smaller portion than my uncle. They divided the food. He was the son. She was the daughter. She got a smaller portion. They didn't pay for her to go to camp or extracurriculars. They paid for him. And here's the thing about this. My mother went to work. She had her first job between second and third grade. Imagine what it took for somebody to hire her. She ran errands. She cleaned things up. She took pencil marks out of book, whatever it was. But that's how she paid for her school clothes and her school shoes. So for her, her appearance mattered a lot. And the fact that she would see me dressed like this would drive her bananas. Like, Monica, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. But my mother had nothing. And so for her, she got married. She married somebody who came from some money. And when they got divorced, all of a sudden, all of my mother's fears came roaring and crashing down back on her. And we lived with that. My mother did the best she could. She knew certain things. She was great with her budget, but anything else she really wasn't very good at. And there wasn't much out there. No internet, none of that. She didn't talk to us about all of that. She didn't bring any of that up. And she didn't feel confident with it. She got married several years later. My stepfather was in a better place. If you really want your children to learn, understand that they learn what they live. And the more you teach them and the more you show them, the more they're going to absorb, more than you realize.
Absolutely.
How old are your kids?
So my daughter is 5 and my son just turned 2. But awesome. That is so true. Like, you know how they say, do what I say, not what I do. Children will always do what you do. Like, I'll have my daughter, and this is honestly what made me step back, because I was in a very high demanding job last year. I'm still in tech, but a little bit better with the work-life balance. And when she would get stressed, she'd be like, I have a meeting. I have 100 jobs. And it was, oh, you're acting like mommy. And I didn't want her to think like, oh, financial success has to equate giving up your time and always being in a meeting. So now she knows, like, I'm more important than a meeting. And I'm like, you can always come in. If it's work, it's like, hey, this is my daughter. Sorry about that. Mommy's in a meeting. And then I'll go back to it, versus before, where it was so imperative. It's like, you have this high paying job. You can't lose it because you have to take care of your kids. And it's like, I'm in a meeting. Go away. Don't come around. And you start to see what they start to take in. And that's where, again, just to bring it back, being on land, being in soil, being out here is about reclaiming that time. Because by the time they're 13 or 14, people take it for granted that they don't want to spend time with you anymore. They want to hang out with their friends. And I'm actively trying to reverse that, where we're so close and this is always their home, where they want to spend this time with me. And we talk about money. She already is starting she has business ideas.
Good for her. Awesome.
And everything.
That's great.
My little mini me. But I talk about money shouldn't equate your time and how can you get dividends. And we talk about what a trust is, even though she's five. It's still, I don't want these to be foreign concepts to her like they were to me.
I will tell you one thing that really makes me happy talking to you is you're talking about a trust. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why that makes me happy, I got a call many years ago. It was around about a few months before the start of the pandemic, the start of the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was from a young mother who had two kids, and she and her husband had gotten into some debt. And they started with another program, and they misunderstood how the program was presented. Okay. I'm not going to blame the program for this. So the reason why she called initially was because she bought a estate planning program from them. And her entire estate plan was she was going to give the money to her brother and her brother would take care of her kids.
Hmm.
And I said, okay, here's the problem with that. A moral obligation is not a legal obligation. Once you give that to your brother, it's his. What he does with it, well, are you saying that he wouldn't? I said, no, hear me on this. Okay. Once you give it to your brother, it's his. If something happens and he gets divorced, 50% of that could walk out the door. What are you saying? I said, I'm saying that if 55% of divorce marriages in this country end in divorce, there's a chance there and it's not zero. Okay. The next thing that I was saying to her was I have seen, and I've seen this more caring times than I care to admit, people don't have enough insurance on property and casualty. They get into a car accident. Somebody sues. They get a judgment that's more than what they have in terms of coverage. What happens to their property? Okay. And she just couldn't process this. And then she got upset. Her husband didn't like what she was doing. So I don't know how they resolved that. But then she asked me about the debt situation. And I said, okay, here's a problem. I said, I applaud you for aggressively cutting down your expenditures and getting out of debt. I said, but tell me about your emergency fund. She screamed, we can't develop an emergency fund until we pay off the debt. No.
No.
You have two parts to this foundation. Okay. You are standing on two legs, not one. Okay. You have to move forward. You have to have both. And she said to me, why? And I explained, I'm like, look, what happens if something happens to the two of you or one of the two of you and you can't work? Why would that happen? Because it happens.
Life.
Okay. This was right before the shutdown. If one or the two of you cannot work, you're going to go right back into debt. With the emergency fund and with other things set up along the way, you will have more of a buffer. I don't understand why any of this would happen. Because life happens. Nobody has a straight shoot up. Everybody has ups and downs. You have to even it out and keep your emotions even to do it. And the systems help you to keep your perspective. So she thought I was an idiot until 2 weeks after the shutdown started, she called me up to let me know that she had lost her job. And I said, are you going to be okay? She said, well, we're going to wind up right back in debt. Point taken. I've learned. I said, you'll be fine. Now that you've learned, you'll be okay. Again, people have to learn this. It's like these things walk together. So when you talk to me about a trust, I have seen cases where estate judges, probate judges have thrown things out of court because there wasn't a trust created for a specific reason. Do it correctly. And when you get these do-it-yourself wills, if you talk to estate lawyers, probate lawyers, they make a tremendous amount of money going back in after the fact, correcting it, redoing it, because people didn't get them notarized properly. They didn't get them signed properly. All of this stuff. It's like, look, and especially if you have benefits through work that'll pay for legal stuff.
Yes.
Or will subsidize it. My God, make this easy.
Use it. Insurance.
I mean, I am the biggest proponent before you spend money outside of it, use your benefits from work. They are there for a reason, which is for you to use them. There is nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need a new will. Let's go get this day done. If it's $500, that's another thing. Like I was talking to someone, a couple, and they did their will when they got remarried in 87 and have not updated it since.
Mm.
Okay. Is the lawyer still alive? No. Okay. You're referring to your minor children in that will. what could go wrong here? Okay. Why do I need to do this?
No, it's you are, this is synergy. This is complete in harmony, especially with you referring to systems. And like you said, usually people have to go through that to learn this, but this is exactly why we have this platform. I don't want anyone to have to learn it the hard way, because it's difficult, and being in debt and not having an emergency fund is huge. We bought this house while still having student loans, because okay. we knew that this would give us leverage. And now we're net worth positive.
That's great.
And like you just said, with a trust, I lost my mom last year.
I'm sorry.
And thank you. And going through probate was so difficult. Not having any of those things set up, that it was the like accelerator, the catalyst for me making sure, especially why I have young children, that there is a trust in place. I used my insurance from my job, my legal insurance, which got me a $5,000, $6,000 trust for the equivalent of $20 per month. And being able to have it done very correctly, having a lawyer on call to do this, and knowing that I have peace of mind. And if something were to happen to me and my husband, that our trustee, they have a legal obligation to use our life insurance in the correct way to take care of our children and the property.
And here's the thing that I've said to people, okay? And I love that you've done this. That's amazing. I'm glad you had the coverage. I'm glad it was that good. And I'm glad you bit the bullet and did it. I'm sorry that you had to learn it through your mother. Unfortunately, as somebody once said to me, we are all mammals. We learn through pain. Wise mammals learn through other people's pain, okay? And
there we go.
It's very, very, very true. You can look at this. You can watch this and you can get it. I've had an attorney say to me, there was this one book and it was written in the form of a fiction book talking about different scenarios. And so one of the things they stipulated was, imagine your spouse is out of the country, you have kids, and you're in a car accident. Who has the authority to pick the kids up from school?
You have to think about those things.
Yes, you do. You have to give somebody the authority, because if not, the state gets called and the kids wind up in foster care until the other person can be found. That's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
I write it out. Like, that's why we moved here. And this whole platform is about generational wealth, but also community and being intentional with building community, especially when you have children, because you can be used to being very independent. But once you have children, you have to find people you can trust. And usually, not for everyone, and I understand that from my birth family, but being near my father-in-law was the imperative why we moved out here, especially during something like the pandemic, because that's who can pick them up from school. Having that peace to know that they will be loved and cared for if the worst happened. And,
you know,
that's where you have to be intentional with relationships as well, and at least also intentional with your partners and making sure that you have that similar vision for life, because it's really difficult to change someone if that is not where their mindset is from the start.
Well, and that's the whole thing. I will never forget one of my best friends saying to me years ago, and this was something that her parents, who had been very upfront about money, had said to her. She said, marriage is about the business of life. It's not a business relationship in terms of just business. It's an emotional relationship. It's a physical relationship. It is a family relationship, but it's also about, how do you want to live? How do you interface with each other? What is life going to be like inside of your home? And people are like, oh, you're saying it's just about business. No, I'm saying it's about the business of life, and money is part of it.
Monica is just dropping these gems. I am so thankful for y'all joining again. This is part two of my conversation with Monica. You will hear the conclusion of this three-part series on the next episode. Again, You can find Monica and more information about her at harmonywealthacademy.com. You can also always learn more about Seed and Society at seedandsociety.com. As always, you can check the show notes for more information.